Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. Welcome to The Photo Detective, where we cover historical image analysis, genealogy, and how to work with your family photo collection. Have you ever wished that you could verbally tell a story of a photo and connect it to the image? Suppose you could do that through an app or a phone call. Wouldn't that be cool? And suppose it didn't actually cost you anything to do that. Well, guess what? There is a company that offers a way to save those photo stories by putting pictures and words together. And it's pretty amazing. And it's called storyglory.me. On a visit home to Minneapolis one holiday, my guest found a box of old photos in the closet, spread them out on the kitchen table, and started scanning them. And then his mom stopped by and saw all the pictures and started talking about them and telling the stories. And that was the beginning of StoryGlory.me. Story Glory's founders know that stumbling upon a long-lost photo is a joy, but it also comes with a responsibility to save the stories that those pictures represent. And Story Glory helps families capture these emotional moments in an elegant, heartfelt way with voice and pictures and video. And it was built from the ground up with privacy in mind. So Story Glory enables family storytelling and sharing that they feel would be very uncomfortable to do on public and advertising-supported social media. Brad Niemer founded the company in 2015 in San Francisco, and he's joined in leadership by co-founder Graham Myrie. Brad is the founder and CEO of Story Glory. He has led product design and management at large companies such as Motorola, Casio, and Asurion, as well as at startups such as Wikia and Linden Lab. Brad earned his undergraduate degree in political science at Washington University in St. Louis and pioneered the industry's first MBA plus design dual master's program at the Illinois Institute of Technology's Institute of Design. Brad has taught graduate-level design and business at the Institute of Design and at the Stanford School. Graham Myrie is the co-founder and chief technical officer of Story Glory. He has architected and built web and mobile apps for various startups, as well as healthcare-grade services for Kaiser Permanente. Graham earned his undergraduate degree in symbolic systems at Stanford University. And I'm really happy to have Brad as a guest today, because of course, every picture really does tell a story, and they're all about capturing it. My guest today is Brad Niemer of StoryGlory.me. And Brad, thank you so much for being on The Photo Detective. I love your website and your app. It's the perfect thing, right, for The Photo Detective. Pulls it all together. But thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you. You're like our dream.
Because we're photographs in your words.
Absolutely.
Right. So Story Glory, we missed running into each other, a couple of times at Roots Tech, in the crush that's Roots Tech. And then I mentioned to you, I was cleaning my office and found this pile of things that I'd collected at Roots Tech like a few years ago. And there was the Story Glory, and I had gone through the pile and searched for all these websites, and everybody was like, out of business, out of business, out of business. And I got to Story Glory. I was like, oh, the website's even better than it was the first time I looked at it. So we set up this interview. Why don't you tell folks what Story Glory is and what's your inspiration for it, how that all happened?
Yeah, thank you. It was really started as a labor of love. And it started with photos, and you'll see how it evolved into the broader voice. But the, you know, the crux of it is that I grew up in Minnesota and have most since college lived somewhere else. So I go back to visit my family, and every once in a while I'll see that that box of photos in the closet. And, you know, living in a place like California, you have earthquakes and you're very aware of natural disasters. And I got more and more concerned that even though we don't have earthquakes in Minnesota, there's floods, there's snow, there's tornadoes, there's all sorts of things, and better to protect it. And so one day I just got the photos out, put them on my mom's kitchen table, and started snapping shots with my phone camera, knowing that wasn't the best possible way to do it, but it was better than nothing. And I was at the point where I really wanted to be at least protected. And so one good thing is that the photos were saved, which was great. And I could, you know, rest easier. But my mom was there also to say, you know, that was your Uncle Jim, and he used to jump on his tummy, and they gave you this, you know, this fire engine, and, you know, we had to go back to the factory because it lost the little snorkel, and all these little details that were, you know, were hidden in plain view, but unless we had, you'd had a reason to ask, it wouldn't have come out. And that was really fun. And then again, the best thing about it was not just that I got the photos digitally and, you know, learned about them, but I had a great conversation with my mom. And so it was, there was just, it was clear there was something there, and probably not just for us. And so a colleague slash friend of mine, who's very talented technically, Andrew, said, hey, I can build you a prototype. So he became part of the company that didn't exist before that conversation. And we just started building things. And when we needed to build more, there was another developer that he had always wanted to work with. Again, they had worked with in the past, but he had a great experience with Graham. And Graham joined and started small and ended up being a partner and essentially a co-founder. And Swedish descent, family landed in Seattle. Like, now I know his whole history too, because we've gone through the photos together. And, you know, one thing led to another. We just started building this, and it started as an app. So we're in the App Store, not just iPhone. We actually optimized it for the iPad too, because we realized early on also that we wanted to be, just as we had enjoyed the intergenerational stories, we thought that would be appealing for folks. And so we were aiming as much for the 30, 40, 50-year-old with the iPhone, the 75, 80-something parent on the sofa with the iPad. And so it was really gratifying when we first started to see that kind of use happen in real life, like beyond our own families. But, you know, we see that pattern in other folks where the son is sending, he's finding these old pictures, he's sending them to his dad. His dad is then adding, oh yeah, that was me and your mom just when we got married in our best suits and, you know, came back from church, and just beautiful stories. And again, none of this is secret, but it just doesn't happen without the photo. So the insight with Story Glory is just that for us, that the photo is a great stimulus for a story.
So you upload the photos to the app.
Yep.
And then you click on the photo.
Yep.
And you click record, and yep, you start talking.
You talk. And it records it pretty much as long as you could want to talk. And it's amazing, actually, how little it takes. Like, we always think, oh, it must take 5, 10, 20 minutes. 2 minutes is actually amazing if you are in the right moment and present. It can actually be an amazing 1 minute. So it doesn't take a lot of audio, because audio is such a powerful medium to really make an impression, really capture a beautiful story or beautiful emotion. And then that's it. And everything, the only other piece of it that's really was important to us from the beginning is that we wanted it to be private and advertising free, because we didn't want it to be corrupted by any other forces or any other pressures. So we even self-funded the company so we wouldn't be pressured to make, you know, changes that were trendy or more aggressive on marketing. And so we, in the end, we have an app that's in the App Store. I just checked actually before this interview. We're in 105 countries which is exciting. You know, we have done some limited localization, but by and large, those folks are using the English language version, and we'd love to do more more localization in the future. But since it's voice, there's not much that's necessary. So people can speak in Arabic or Hindi or Japanese or Chinese, or, you know, so it's really actually all ready to go. And it's been really gratifying to see all the different locations come in. You can see a little map on the Apple dashboard, and it's really neat to see that families cool. everywhere are very right. similar. Yeah.
So would you and Graham consider yourself family historians?
I guess I'm not qualified to be one, but in spirit we are.
Well, but when you started this, it was about collecting the stories, right? Which all add up to be the family history. And I think a lot of people have photographs and want to get the stories, but don't necessarily consider themselves family historians. They're not, you know, on Ancestry.com and, you know, filling out the pedigree charts. But in fact, I think you are.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I think now it's tapped something, and I realize that, again, without any training or, you know, special distinction, I see the stories, I appreciate them now. So now even when I read a story in the newspaper, I see it differently. And when I read a story about someone, especially who's coming from a different place or different background, I can read into it so much more empathy, because I have heard these stories where you see, you know, people have shared things with us, and you, basically everyone's the same. And it's just never more clear when you're hearing someone talk about their dad or their mother or their sister or their brother or their friend. And you could subtract all the demographics and you'd get the same story. And it's been really beautiful to see that. You'd hope to see that, but we actually have seen that. And so it's been really, really gratifying.
Yeah, I mean, I see that with my mom. I'll show her a picture, and the story that comes out of her mouth is not necessarily in any way even related to the picture. The picture is just the trigger. And
exactly.
Of course, it's great to have the whole story of that photograph, you know, what's happening in that picture. If it's a group picture, why is everybody gathered? When are they gathered? What's the occasion? Stuff like that. But you also have to appreciate that a photograph can be just something that makes you think about other things. It's like hearing, some people are, have that music thing where they hear a bar of music and it takes them back.
Yeah.
For me, obviously, it's pictures. But it's, I love the ease at which you can sit with someone, photograph, you know, use your phone, photograph that image, put it in the app, record the story, and then you can share it with people, not
yes.
publicly, but you can share it privately. So you can send it to your cousin and your uncle and your...
That's right. Yeah. You don't need an iPhone to receive it. We put it on a private web page. We actually post it in video form, so you can share the link as you wish. If you don't share it, no one's going to find it. If you do share it, it's just to the people that you designate. And I just wanted to pick up on something that you said that's interesting, is that, you know, we as society in these, especially milestone moments like weddings and big events, we take all these formal pictures, and they couldn't capture less of your actual essence sometimes, because it's so stiff, it's so uncomfortable, it's loud all around, and they're saying stand still, and there's 18 people, and it never quite feels to me as heartfelt as the casual ones. And when we look at the pictures, you know, that people have shared with us, and they talk about it, it's actually the most simple pictures or the most casual ones that sometimes elicit the biggest memories. And it definitely doesn't have to be a formal picture. And so one of the tips we could share, which you might feel as you might already have seen in your work, is that, you know, people can often be so intimidated by what feels like, you know, the mountain of pictures in their head and the breadth and depth of this project, that they don't even start. And we have found that you can't find a more trivial picture that still works. Like it actually doesn't matter at all. If you see a shoe, it was a shoe that got stuck in the rain because you were late doing something, and you got, like, there's always something.
Every picture tells a story. That's what
I
say.
Absolutely. And so any advice we could give would start with, don't worry about it. Start with something, start today, or at least this weekend. And usually the funny thing is also that the first take is the best. you can go back and edit. You can remove your audio. You know, we let people do whatever they want, but usually the first take is the one that speaks most directly.
And is there a limit to the number of photographs that someone can put in the app?
No limit, and no one's broken it yet. No limit, actually. We've left it on just to test it, to see how long we can go on the recording. We've gone like 45 minutes, we've gone an hour. Almost nobody has done that. I've done it myself in person. I've done in-person interviews in a different setting, gone to a senior home and interviewed amazing people. And in that setting, I wanted it to be one long one instead of a bunch of small ones. But yeah, there's no limit, no practical limit. People can do long stories, short stories, lots of photos, few photos, whatever.
So you have a photograph.
Yeah.
You record it. It gets automatically uploaded to the site where you can share it. You can download it, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yes. Can you invite a family member to add to the story?
You know, it's funny you say that, because our first version did that. We used to do that. And it was actually really neat that you could have, that was the initial vision, that you could have people pass it around inside the family, and it would be like your own little podcast, your own little conversation. We want to put it back in sometime, but the reason we took it out is because we wanted to make sure that people could take the first step of sharing and making it unavoidably simple, that people could do the basic work of getting their, sort of capturing the photo, sharing it with someone they care about, and ideally getting that feedback, a phone call or something that just they know they've got other conduits. And then we may put that back, but we didn't want to overcomplicate it. So everything we've done actually is to remove features. And it's funny because I also work as a product manager, which is kind of like the quarterback of a product development team. So you don't do any of the things, but you're in the middle of it. And the biggest thing that you have to manage is the wish list. And the wish list is always longer than what you can do. And the art of a great product is how much you can remove. And I'm not even saying I'm good at it, but like the best products you love probably have less than more. And that's been the aesthetic we've tried to follow, and even just the general approach. We wanted it to be incredibly simple, not require a user's manual, not require training videos on the web. And we get very few support calls. And I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it's something like, you know, like 2/3 of the people who join that day, they upload a story. So it's working. But I love that idea that you just had, that we could, that if that seems like an interesting use case, we could potentially put that back in over time.
Well, right. You want to keep it as simple as possible to encourage people not to feel overwhelmed by the whole process. Basically, pick up a photograph in your house, tell the story, move on to the next, so that you are documenting those memories. Now, I think, and are you going to come up with an Android option for people?
Yeah, so we would love to do Android sometime. It's not yet done. But what we have done in the meantime is, again, we make these private pages for the videos. So we take the photo and the audio, and if we dump those back out to the phone, it would be in two places, which is kind of messy. So we create a video on the phone that contains all the audio you've spoken about that photo. Essentially, the story is encapsulated in a video. That goes to your private web page, and anyone can see that. And not anyone, I mean only people with the link, but anyone with a web browser on a phone, tablet, laptop, Android, iOS, they all work. So you can't create on an Android yet, but you can view on anything.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's perfect. Now, you're coming out with something new, right? You're building up the website where, it, say, someone has a whole collection of photographs and they've recorded all the stories. There's a way to put them all together. There's the next step.
Yeah, exactly. And even in the form of a long-form interview. So what we found is that... again, maybe we're countercultural, but you see, we're always trying to remove buttons rather than put them in. And in the same spirit, we found that even though we'd like to think that our app is pretty simple to use, it's still an app, still needs an app store. Not everyone knows their app store password. Not everyone has a smartphone that you'd want to connect with these days on, you know, for memory capture. And so we're actually going in the other direction where we're piloting a service to help people just use a regular phone to have a conversation, either one-on-one kind of do-it-yourself mode. So we give you the phone line. You can make as many calls as you want in, say, a month. And those calls are then preserved and recorded in our system. And you can do all sorts of things like get you archival CDs and make books and things like that. But you are having this great conversation now. We're trying to help you give a little structure, kind of like actually Weight Watchers and diet plans do. Like, it's not a secret you exercise more and eat less, but still structure helps, clearly. And so in the same way, we're trying to help people do what they want to do, but get it done. And so we're going to be piloting a do-it-yourself phone line. And also we have professional moderators, professional family historians, who, for those who want that to happen, either as a moderator on the call with your loved one, so you could have two or three family members and the moderator, or in some cases the conversation will be better or maybe more open if it's only the moderator with the family member. And we don't choose that. We leave that to the families. Mm-hmm. But those are the services that we're working on that by the time this podcast is out should be available for folks to try.
Like a facilitator.
Like a facilitator. Yep.
Someone who's encouraging the conversation.
Yep. And sometimes it's helpful that they're not members of the family. We find. So
yeah, I hear a lot of stories when people are showing me photographs. Sometimes they're almost confessional. Mm-hmm. you know, this happened and this is my role in it, goes on and on.
You tend to meet in person? Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
So when you do your work, does it tend to be you with a pile of photos that someone sends you, or there's the one photo that comes and then you have to be a detective and go out into the world and find it, or is it one-on-one consultations? Like, how does your work play out?
It's one-on-one consultations. I prefer to work on big collections, but people like to work on their own collections. There's that feeling of wanting to touch and get involved in their own family history. So the one-on-one consultations can be for a single photo, a batch of photos, three photographs. And, you know, now that we're not traveling, I do them all virtually, which I've been doing for years. And some of them are face-to-face and some of them are just on the phone. In other cases, when we were all traveling, I would go to conferences, and it's my favorite thing to sit down with someone with a few photographs and like help them figure out how that image fits into their family history. Mm. And what it means to them. I just like listening to the stories and then saying, did you see this? Or did you consider this? Mm-hmm. This might be the case. And sometimes there's like remarkable reveals that happen where someone just stops and they go, oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I know who that is now.
Mm. Yeah. And it can even be the tree behind them, right? It's not even the foreground.
It can be anything. Because when it's your photograph, you're not really seeing it.
Yeah.
It comes with baggage. It comes with you seeing it as you've always seen it. Someone told you who it is, and that's the only thing behind it. When in fact, it really does tell a whole story.
Right.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
It's intoxicating.
It is intoxicating. I really like it. It brings a lot of joy to people to tell their stories. Yeah. And it makes them feel like they're leaving a legacy behind. And there is that power of voice, which you capture with StoryGlory.
You know, actually, that's another great point. You know, we've done different, we've done StoryGlory services in different configurations. So certainly we have the app, but we've piloted it also as an in-person experience where we go in to, say, a place where a lot of seniors live, like a senior living facility. And folks will almost always say they have nothing to talk about, their life is not interesting, and they don't see the point. And then 4 minutes in, you can't stop them. And they're telling incredibly valuable things that their family is delighted to hear, surprised to hear. And it's just really touching. It's also very sad that people would go in thinking that they don't have a lot to offer, especially having lived these rich lives. But it's nice to be able to turn that, at least on the one-by-one basis, we've been able to do it.
Right. I mean,
positive spirit there.
Families don't, I think, making an assumption here, don't want to hear how their ancestor was famous or their person in the senior home is famous for something. It's the how they live their lives and what they did. My mom turned 90 last year, and I gave her birthday party in July because her birthday's in December, and every time I planned to have a party, it always snowed. So I said, we're going to do it in the middle of the summer. And she's like, well, my birthday's not for 6 months. You're making me old. And I'm like, well, everyone can come, or we can try again and have another blizzard. So we did it, and I opened it up. I opened up the room to questions for her. I sat her in a primary spot and said, here are all the descendants, your descendants and your sister and brother's descendants. She's the oldest member of the family, the last one living. What do you want to know?
Beautiful.
And she just sat and talked. And of course, my phone died. But hey, but story glory, I'd be so much further along.
But honestly, I mean, we would catch it, but also the people in the room had a great experience too, which is part of the magic.
Right. But they didn't, you know, it was the little things they wanted to know about. How the way that you can compare your life to someone else's, the way we live our lives is different than the way our parents live their lives and our grandparents live their lives. Just think about just daily existence. I mean, there was no Zoom.
Yeah.
Think about being shut in without Zoom.
Yeah. On the other hand, my grandmother, where the house my dad grew up in, was a block away from her sister, where their parents, my grandmother's parents, lived. And now, living 1,800 miles from my parents and 10,000 miles from my wife's parents in India, I wish for that. I would long for that. I would love to be around the corner from all of our family. And they would not have envisioned the distances we've gone in our lives, which is great, but it's not for free. You know, there's a lot that we lose as well. And now I can appreciate the value of the homestead and the, you know, those kinds of those values and those patterns that they probably took for granted and didn't appreciate how valuable it was. Now I do.
My mother grew up on a street with both sets of grandparents living on the same street. I had a cousin who lived on that street, some other cousins who lived on that street. You know, you just say the name of the road and, you know, you can look at a map and see all these different people live. The funny thing about that is I have a good friend, and French Canadian families are usually related to one another. It's the way it works. There's a lot of cousins, a lot of intermarriage. It, you know, goes all the way back to that founding of Quebec. And so I had this friend, and we could not figure out, we should be related, but we're not somehow. And then he goes, but here's the thing. He goes, my grandparents live next door to your grandparents on that street.
Wow.
So there are stories everywhere. I appreciate that Story Glory helps us collect them. I love the fact that you can connect the photograph and the story, which is something that has been missing. And I think everyone should put it on their phone and start collecting the photo stories immediately.
Thank you. And again, it's a mission for us, so we're here to help. So if anyone has any questions, even about how to get started, don't hesitate to reach out. We just really, you know, one story at a time, want to help people do this, as so it's as satisfying as it has been for us.
Is there one particular story that came out of looking at your photographs and recording family that totally surprised you?
My own?
Yeah.
My own stories? That's a great question.
I love the fire truck story.
The fire truck is real. Yeah, the Tonka trucks, I think that they're still around. They used to be made in Minnetonka, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis where I grew up. And, you know, those in those days, everything was not plastic snapped together. It was like, get a screwdriver and hope the part's in the box. And it wasn't. And we had to, there was this thing that was so cool. It was a hook and ladder truck that actually had a pump. You could hook up like a lawn hose, a garden hose, and it would squirt out the top of the ladder, which for a, you know, 4-year-old is the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so my aunt and uncle gave it to me, and somehow the fire hydrant, the little toy fire hydrant that did the connection, wasn't there. And so, you know, major crisis ensued. And it's not like you go online in 1974 and get it. You had to write to the company, and someone reads a piece of paper and then goes in the back and gets it and send it to us in the time we were living in Kentucky. And I mean, all those little things.
And yet, this is a story now that you know, and you can't look at one of your kids' toys without thinking about that.
And my son knows it. Now he wants a fire engine. He's 4. And now he sees that picture, and he knows my aunt and uncle, and he's ready for his Tonka fire engine.
Thank you so much for joining me, Brad. This has been really fun. Keep me posted on what's happening with Story Glory, and I think you're going to send me some stories to share.
I will. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media. Leave me a rating and a review. And if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.